Hi, and welcome to another edition of the 19th Hole Golf Show. I'm Ryan Ballingy. You can follow me on Twitter, at Ryan Ballingy, or you can email me, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. This week's guest is Kelsey McLean, and Kelsey runs a business called 4Kids Golf. She also runs a website called kelseymclean.com. And what her story is very niche to golf, which is a niche sport, and that is that her product line is great clothes, well-made, for children. And she's gotten into the business over the last several years in part because she found that she couldn't find the products that she wanted for her child. So, like so many entrepreneurs, she decided to create it herself. And so we had a conversation off the air a week or so ago, and I found her story really interesting. And so I thought I would bring it to you. And so here's our conversation.
Kelsey, thanks for being on with us. It was so great to connect with you of all random places through social media and LinkedIn type network called Opportunity that I'd never heard of until like 3 weeks ago, and run into each other and had a great conversation on the phone. I wanted to have you on the podcast to talk about your business and what you've been able to develop. And you specialize in something that's unique to the industry because kids don't get a whole lot of attention from golf, and for better or worse, probably for worse. But you've decided to make a big foray in it, and you've been really successful at it. So first, before you get into where you're going with your business, let's start about how you got started and decided to start making children's clothing that pertains specifically to golf.
Well, first and foremost, thank you so much for having me on today. I really appreciate it, and it's been great connecting with you. It's really great to be on this phone call and chat with you. What happened initially is I was about 8 months pregnant, and I waddled into a pro shop, and I wanted to buy for my unborn son a baby suit or a body suit or a blanket or one of those type of things for my child that was embroidered with the club logo. And I was told that, A, there was absolutely nothing like that for, you know, babies and toddlers. There were one or two pieces, but not much. And B, the things that I did find weren't what I was looking for. I wanted exceptional quality. I wanted 100% Pima cotton. I wanted a product that would last and look good and was very classic, timeless, elegant, and well-styled. And about a month after my son was born, I thought back and thought, you know, that's really a good idea. I really started researching it, and I premiered the line at the 2013 PGA Merchandise Show, and I just had a few samples, just a few things. Was kind of working out of my garage. I found that Peru was the optimal place to have my product manufactured because the quality of the cotton, number one, and number two, the quality of the workmanship. And anyway, at the PGA Merchandise Show, we were stunned that we got some fantastic orders from some of the top clubs in the country. We don't like to disclose a full list of our clubs, of course, but we were overwhelmed, and at that point, we were just cut to order. And from that point on, it sort of rolled from there. We started receiving wonderful feedback and endorsements from the merchandisers and from the pros. They thought, this is really incredible. And, you know, it's sort of a way to – I think what's great about our product is nobody was really doing it previously on the level we are. We have a whole clothing line that ranges primarily from newborn to about 54 pounds, and it's very well made, very classic, and it's simple colors. The club logos show up very well, and we do tonal, whatnot. And then in 2014, we decided to move operations out of our garage and into an office, and we got a full embroidery shop and warehouse and everything. And it took off from there. We became, I think, within 18 months of launching, a preferred vendor for the Ritz-Carlton Hotel Company. We are also a official licensee of the Tournament Players Club Network, or TPC, and we've just received such outstanding endorsements from so many of our retail partners that we decided that we should do a retail website. Having been only available in green grass pro shops, and so many people were calling saying, we want your product. We want your product. I don't care if it's embroidered or not. So that's what we did. launched. I'm sorry, go ahead.
At what point do you think it kind of started to take on a life of its own, bigger than what you maybe originally thought was going to happen? Or did you think that this was going to happen all along and this is exactly what you planned? Or how did it start to deviate from what you originally thought was going to happen when you launched?
Well, originally when we first launched, I just thought it would be kind of something to do on, you know, kind of to do on the side, it would sort of be just a fun thing to do. I had no idea the scope that it would really take on. It's been a bit stunning. I also had no idea how much time, effort, and finances it took to start a clothing line. It's shocking being an entrepreneur, and it's been very interesting and rewarding as well, being a female entrepreneur in the golf industry. I believe strongly in golf and the principles and morals that it teaches our children. I think that if everyone played by the rules of golf, children, adults, companies, basically integrity, honesty, sportsmanship, the world would be a much better place. So that's been kind of one of the fun things about it. I have so many moms and women in the industry, as well as men, who have said, this is phenomenal. And what we've done for our wholesalers and the golf shops is we send, along with the product, free mannequins and free hangers and, you know, signage that says our golf shop now provides baby and children's clothing embroidered with our club logo. And it's really promoted awareness. It's gotten a lot of women into the golf shop that wouldn't ordinarily go. For example, no one in my family, my family doesn't play golf, but no one in my family ever went into a pro shop or a golf shop until I had my baby clothing there. And then suddenly it was like, oh, wow, there really is cool stuff in the golf shops. And there is.
And for clubs, I mean, the pro shop is really where the merch is. You have to go there to more or less get the embroidered stuff that you want to tell the world. You either play there, you belong there, or whatever. But there never seemed to be a retail space for the social member, the pool member, even in some cases the tennis member at a country club. Why do you think that is? Why do you think that clubs kind of shunned using other parts of their acreage to sell stuff that has their logo on it?
Well, I think, golf clubs and country clubs as a whole are really evolving. And along with PGA of America's whole Let's Grow the Game of Golf, mantra or campaign, I think that everyone's kind of caught on that country clubs are more and more about families, and they're more about all ages. Golf is one of the greatest things about golf is whether you're 4 or 104, you can still play golf. It's a really cool sport, and I think that a lot of people that are not in the golf industry really don't know all the really neat things about golf, and I think in everyone's attempt in the golf industry to grow the game of golf, that making it more friendly towards women, towards babies, children, is something that's essential and that needs to happen. It's time for it. I think it's good timing. Women spend 80% of the household income on average. So you're definitely going to want them in your pro shop.
So I guess that leads me to another issue that I have with Grow the Game initiatives is that they're largely created, developed by white guys. And white guys don't necessarily know how to appeal to children or to women or to anybody else for that matter, or to other white guys for that matter. So do you feel, as someone who is involved in the industry but not as intimately involved in growing the game initiatives, what do you feel is the tone that might be missing that prevents these kinds of things from maybe working as well as they could or getting adopted sooner by more people?
Well, it's funny because oftentimes I'll have a guy show up at our PG merchandise show booth and say, yeah, my wife sent me here. I don't really get it, but she saw your product in another golf shop and said I had to buy it. And the guys will show up just kind of like, I don't know why I'm here. And when we kind of walk them through the product and let them know about the free mannequins and we show them all the photos of the displays And then I say, please, we want feedback on sell-through. How are things going? Let us know. And we send out, we have a whole thing, promote this on social media, put it in your member newsletter. Let people know it's there. I'll send you an extra mannequin, put it in a public area where people who wouldn't necessarily frequent the golf shop can see the cute little outfit embroidered with the club logo and the sign that we send that says, our shop now provides clothing for children and babies embroidered with the club logo, and you'll find more traffic. And people have commented and said, wow, we've gotten all sorts of people, and not only have we sold through well on your product, but we've also sold through well on women's products. We've gotten more women in the shop. We've gotten women more interested, and people who ordinarily would never be interested in golf. And I think that's a really cool thing. At the end of the day, there's really nothing cuter than babies, puppies, and kittens. And if that's how you got to get them in the golf shop, that's how you got to get them in.
Well, I mean, they could have a litter of puppies in the golf shop. I would go in there more often to pet with them, but I see what you're trying to say.
Yeah. Well, yeah, kittens and puppies in the golf shop may not be appropriate, but a mannequin with a cute, you know, logo of the club. I mean, people are very proud of their clubs and their club logos. And, you know, how many golf shirts do you own with club logos?
From my club, probably two or three. From other clubs, I've enjoyed playing pretty much every one of them. You know, 10. I don't know that are in rotation that I use.
Yeah, so you know, guys have a lot of them, and this is sort of a new angle and a new niche. The biggest problem we have is that babies and children grow and they outgrow our clothing. That's our biggest problem. But the good thing is there's always new babies being born. There's always children being born. And, you know, they don't have to play golf to have our product. We don't have golf balls on it or anything. It's very elegant, simple, and timeless. And from the design standpoint, which is ultimately what I do, design the product, I like to keep it simple and timeless and elegant and always in style. All of our products have collars and are appropriate for country club wear.
I feel like with children, you kind of get with the clothes, get one of two areas. Like they wear a T-shirt or a shirt that has the logo of the favorite show that they're watching this week, or it's something that they could wear three or four generations up and down, and it would have fit in just the same. You kind of feel that vibe with the clothes that you've designed, and that's why, other than the aesthetic, that it works to keep it that timeless look to it?
Well, ultimately, one of the things that hugely inspired me is I looked back on pictures of myself as a child in the 1970s, and I was really hip and really cool. I was a polyester princess, and looked for the time I looked great, but as currently, I look kind of goofy. Bell bottoms are cool, but, you know, there was a time for them. From the design standpoint, I think Coco Chanel really said it best when she said, fashion fades, style endures. And that's one of my personal mantras when it comes to designing a new product or bringing on a new item or garment. I want it to look good today, tomorrow, and generations from now. I also want it to be of the best fabrics that we can find. I want it to fit well, look good, and I don't want people to look back on pictures of themselves 30 or 40 years later and say, goodness gracious, what were my parents thinking?
I'm 32 going on 33, and I look at some of the pictures of me in cut-off short-sleeve shirts in the summertime. Like, what was cool then? What happened? Like, how did we get to here from there?
Weren't those great? The 80s, boy, I had some big hair and a lot of Aquanet. You know, it's those trends, you know, they do come and go. But I really think it's about developing a sense of personal, timeless style where you really can't date the clothes. And it's interesting because, you know, you look back on pictures of your grandparents or maybe even great-grandparents, and although things have changed some, they don't look, you know, so trendy and these crazy colors.
No.
And there's a time and a place for that those type of clothing, garments, but generally speaking, for me and from my own standpoint, I really think that the timeless classics that are well made, well priced, sell well, and it's a bonus for, you know, from the golf shop perspective, you know, being able to, you know, we embroider the logos, we use extremely small needles, and it brings out the quality of the logo. Because you can have a great product, but if the club logo doesn't look good, then you don't look good, and the club doesn't look good. So we're very, very detailed about taking the club logos seriously. We also put comfort covers on the backside of the logos so it doesn't irritate sensitive skin. We really, 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 it's kind of a one-stop shop for the pro shop, and they get everything they need and information on promoting the product. So from that standpoint, it's kind of we just try to make it as easy as possible. And we've gotten phenomenal feedback from, Deepdale, Marion, Medina, Whistling Straits, St. Andrews Links in Scotland. It's kind of mind-boggling to me, and I never imagined when I started the company that we would work with such fine clubs, and really, we premiered in the really fine clubs. And how fortunate was that?
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of a tone setter of where you want to go if you're already there at the start.
Yep.
So the next step is to kind of reach the consumer a little bit more directly for the places you might not be in a green grad shop where they either want a logo or they want something that has nothing to do with golf. They want the kid's name or icon on the shirt.
Well, in starting the company, you know, it never occurred to me that this would be something that would be such a widespread demand. And so what we decided to do is we were the second company in the United States to use this sort of, now forgive me, I'm not the most technological person, but this new technology where if you go to the Kelsey McLean website, you can pick out a garment, you can select if you want a stock logo, you can select if you want your monogram or if you want a name. Soon we will have up the, you can have a logo and a name underneath it. And you can pick thread colors, you can pick, I think we have 15 thread colors, 7 fonts for names or text. And for monograms, we probably have, I don't know, 30 different monograms to choose from. And you can see what it looks like in real time on the website, order it off the website. And the beauty of it is it ships to the customer within 2 or 3 days. We're able to turn them around really quickly. And that's what's really nice.
Yeah. As you mentioned to me before when we first started talking, we live in a world now where with Amazon Prime and other services like that, you expect to get your stuff pretty quickly. It's not 5 to 7 business days anymore. It's 1 to 3, and otherwise you feel like, what the hell happened to it?
Absolutely. You've got to grow at the times. And even though we're a startup or a small company, you know, we've got a service, whether it's our golf clubs and country clubs or it's the end user, we've got to be able to turn the product around quickly and efficiently and get it into the buyer's hands as quickly as possible. It's just part of the deal, and I think customer service is absolutely, it's another cornerstone of what we really, really try and do, and try and provide items as quickly, efficiently, and as well done as possible.
So the next step is what happens next? That's the next question. Is what are your goals and aspirations for Kelsey McLean as a brand for children's clothing, and does it grow beyond children? Does it grow just in scale? What are your hopes and aspirations?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I met with Vogue magazine and a lot of very fancy schmancy high-end magazines in New York City a couple months ago, and they took these people see, you know, the finest designers in the world all the time, and so they're used to it. And these people said to me, "Oh my gosh, I have never seen anything like this." And that's when I really got blown away and floored. Coming from those, you know, people that are the creme de la creme in the fashion industry, it kind of blew me away. And they all understood and said, "Wow, you know, if you walk into a store now, a regular retail store, you can't find classic, well-made, elegant clothing for children. And, you know, what an added bonus that you can personalize it and really almost create a one-of-a-kind garment." And that was kind of the big aha. You know, I'm on the right track. I guess it was in the last few weeks, we really have gotten Kelsey McLean, KelseyMacLean.com, up and running. And it's taken quite a bit of time, effort, and resources. But the feedback and the interest has been overwhelming, and we're thrilled. And we're thrilled to be able to provide to the regular consumer. We do not undersell any of our golf shops, pro shops, or buyers whatsoever. We don't want to compete with them. The golf industry has been phenomenally good to us, and we certainly want to be phenomenally good to them and support them in any way we can.
So in 12 or 18 months' time, what is the one thing you hope happens with your business?
Well, the goal is yes, we do want to grow our clothing. We will be growing our clothing line to larger sizes, offering more products, more, you know, you name it. The sky is sort of the limit. I have ADHD and dyslexia, so I have a bazillion ideas of what I want to do. But yes, essentially, we are going to be a full lifestyle brand that caters to people who want well-made, comfortable apparel that can transition. Essentially, you can wear it, you know, whether you're on the golf course, whether it's a casual day at work, or just out with friends. It's so soft and feels so good, and that's what's kind of fun. I jokingly say they look like play clothes, but feel like look like dress clothes, but feel like play clothes, and they kind of do.
All right, so time for the plug, because that's the important part here. Let everyone know the website one more time and how they can get in touch with your products.
Absolutely. Well, we're currently running a 20% off of everyone who goes to our website and creates an account, 20% off your first order, no matter what size. The website is www.KelseyMacLean.com. That's KelseyMacLean.com.
All right, Kelsey, thanks so much for being on the show. It was great to talk to you. I'm so glad to have connected with you. I can't wait to see where your business goes now.
Thanks again to Kelsey for being a part of the show. Thanks so much for you listening to us and having our conversation in your earbuds or your earphones each and every week. Next week on the show, we're going to figure out a guest. We haven't lined that up quite yet. Of course, we'll take your requests, again, on Twitter, at Ryan Ballingy, email ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com, or give us a 5-star review on iTunes, and we'll take your request that way. We want to try and bring people who are as intriguing to you as they are to us, and so we want to have those conversations. So we'll keep on having them, either having people that you know extremely well or people that I just think you deserve to get to know. And we'll figure this out together. But hopefully you enjoyed this episode and the last one with Bertie Cordell from DST Golf. And as we continue to work through our new interview series, we're very excited to do this each and every week with you. So until Thursday, when we do our regular 19th hole golf show, which will be from the Greensburg Cup in Orlando, Florida, I'm Ryan Ballingy saying see you then and talk to you on Thursday.